Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to ask us, here's the email to do it with. You can use askjim@jbsba.com. When you get to my website, by the way, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And it comes every week on Sunday by email. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. I'd like to introduce you to a new friend, Thomas Etheridge. Ladies and gentlemen, is the 2004 Small Business Person of the Year from the state of Kansas. He and his wife run an operation out there that I want him to tell you about, because it'll be a lot of fun to hear about it, but it'll also be very inspiring. Thomas Etheridge, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Welcome, or good to visit with you from Kansas today.
It's good to talk to you as well. And before we go any further, let me say congratulations on being the Kansas 2004 Small Business Person of the Year, and to tell you how proud I am of you.
Well, thank you, Jim. We were just honored to have been selected.
Well, it's a great honor, and I know you were in Orlando, and as I was back in May, and during the conference that the SBA holds down there to recognize all of you great winners. And Thomas, what I'd like for you to do first is, let me say this. Folks, Thomas and his wife, Cheryl, run an operation in Kansas called the Prairie Rose Chuck Wagon Supper. And it's a great tourist attraction, but that's not really how you started out, is it?
No, not at all. Before 1989, I was a banker. And an international banker, lived in Europe and Texas, and operated primarily in the Middle East and the Far East in all types of mergers and acquisitions for banks and that type of thing. But in 89, we as a family decided to come back to doing how we had grown up. I had grown up on a ranch in Texas, and I had married my wife Cheryl and married into her family, and they had had a ranch or a farming operation in Kansas, just outside of Wichita, for, with our children, it would make five generations.
Wow.
So almost 120 years, our family on my wife's side had lived on the ground here in Kansas. So we had determined that we wanted to slow our lives down a little bit and get back to some basic values, and so we went back to... I retired from the banking business, ended up only doing a little consulting on the side, but primarily retired, and went back to the cattle business, to the ranching side of our operation. And we built us a new home here in Kansas, and started on the family ground building up our cattle operation. And we modernized a lot of things and continued to grow that. But by the time 1998 had come around, about 10 years later, Jim, cattle prices had dropped to the point they were just about at nothing. And for the first time, here I was, an ex-banker, and I was wondering how I was going to make a bank payment. Things were pretty tight.
You know, Thomas, there's an old story that, as you know and as my audience may remember, I grew up on a farm, and later in another part of my life, adult life, I got back into the cattle business. But there's a great old story about a playboy and a cattle farmer. A cattleman that both won $1 million, and they asked the playboy, "What are you going to do with your $1 million?" He said, "Oh man, I'm set for life. I'll never have to work again in my life. I'll party all over the world, you know, wine, women, and song. I'm in great shape the rest of my life." And they asked the cattleman what he's going to do with his $1 million, and he said, "Well, I guess I'll just put it into my herd as long as it'll last."
It doesn't last long.
And so that was kind of what happened to you in 98, wasn't it?
That was about it. And we were really struggling as to what to do. And we began to have to do, Jim, what every rancher and farmer in America is doing, and what a lot of business people are having to do around the country today. In fact, business people that your radio program is reaching this very day, I bet, are going through the same thing. We begin to have to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And try to determine how we could continue doing what we wanted to do and yet make a living at the same time. And that was a real struggle. And
the conclusions that you were coming to didn't sound much like cattle ranching, did it?
It did not. We didn't have a lot of options, in fact. Oftentimes that seems, it's hard for a business person typically to think outside the box. By nature, we as humans all have a tendency to try to do it the same way we've always done it.
Especially when you love what you do and you don't, absolutely. It hurts your feelings when the world doesn't love what you're doing.
You bet. And again, it seems like the way we think of things is typically we only think of things in one way, but we begin to have to think outside the box. Now, some of the priorities that we had, we wanted to live on the land, we wanted to continue to be in the cattle business, and we wanted to work as a family. And those were some of the things that had gotten me out of banking is because I had traveled so much and I was never home. And we wanted to work together as a family. So out of that, a unique set of circumstances came about. It was a cold November night in 98, and I had just come in from feeding cattle when I received a call, and the mayor's office of Wichita was calling me, and there was a group of international business people that were in town, and they wanted to, before they left Kansas, they wanted to experience and see and meet an American cowboy. And so they had called us, some officials had called us and asked us if maybe we could get together. And I said, well, I've just come in from feeding cattle, and it's a miserable old November day out here in Kansas. I said, what exactly are the guests from, and this is a group of, a delegation from France. I said, what does the delegation or the group want to experience? I said, it's too cold to be on horses and can't go out and check the cattle. It's too cold for that, too wet. They said, Thomas, they just want to be around the cowboy. So, I said, well, just bring them out to the house tomorrow night. We'll have supper. And, of course, as I was saying that, my wife was in the kitchen cooking supper for that evening, and she looked at me and said, who did you just invite?
What are you doing?
You know how husbands are sometimes.
Yeah.
So they came over the next day. It ended up we had a group of about 25 people over for that evening. And they didn't speak any English. Very unusual because most international
usually
business
they
people
do, yeah.
But some would. But they didn't speak any English. And Cheryl, my wife, is
hold, Thomas,
lovely.
hold on to that thought, folks. You're never going to believe where this is leading to. A phone call turned their life around. Then and they did it. And you're going to love this story right after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Thomas Etheridge, and he and his wife have the Prairie Rose Chuck Wagon Supper. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and we're visiting with our new friend Thomas Etheridge. He and his wife are the proud proprietors of the Prairie Rose Chuck Wagon Supper, and you're probably seeing where this is going. Thomas, you were telling us about this delegation of French folks who came over and wanted to see a real live cowboy, and I guess that was you.
Well, it was, and again, being a cold November night, Cheryl fixed a great barbecue meal like we do now,
right?
Something that we had always been raised on, and
a Chuck Wagon Supper.
The Chuck Wagon Supper, and nothing.
Did you have beans?
Whole beans,
you have
barbecue,
to have beans,
brisket,
right?
And potato salad, and just peach cobbler for dessert, all of that. But afterwards, we then retired to the parlor. Now, through the meal, because they didn't speak English, there was very little conversation.
Right.
But afterwards, we all retired to the parlor, and there in the parlor, we had a big fire in the fireplace, and I'd had the cowboys from the ranch to be with us that evening, and they began to sing some of the great cowboy songs.
Wow.
Things that we grew up with, like Cool Water and Tumbling Tumbleweeds, mm-hmm. and Ghost Riders in the Sky,
oh yeah, that's
Home
my
on
favorite.
The Range and some of those great songs. And immediately, Jim, as I sit back, of course, there were 25 people in the room, and the parlor was full, so I kind of sat in the hallway in a rocking chair, and as I watched the evening, I immediately noticed that the entire atmosphere of the room changed. As those cowboy songs were sung, even though the French delegation could not speak English, they immediately identified with the American cowboy. They had grown up with
they'd heard the melodies before, and it just
completely changed the evening's event. As I watched that, light lit up in my thoughts as we had been in a process of thinking outside the box. I immediately saw the difference that it made in these international business people. By the time we reached the end of the evening, they were hugging us, and there were tears of joy, and it just literally touched their hearts.
And you said, we're onto something.
I thought to myself, would anyone pay for this experience?
Right.
And from that, we began. The very next day, I began to talk to our friends and say, you know, we're going to start a chuck wagon supper. I just believe that's an opportunity that the American cowboy is so loved and so thought of that we believe that America is hungry for the wholesome family entertainment.
Well, apparently not just America, but the world. What you did was you created what has now become one of the top tourist attractions in the whole state of Kansas.
You bet. Started in May of 99. From May of 99 through about September of 99, all we were was a very simple, very modest operation, a few picnic tables under a tree. Right. We would start out with maybe three or four people. We had never been involved in restaurant business or entertainment business of any kind. I just didn't even, my career had never gone that direction.
But now, I want to make sure we get some things out here before we run out of time. But I want to have you back because I think there's some more things you need to tell us about this. But you've grown now to where it's you've got a big operation. You got
one of the fastest growing tourist operations or attractions in the state of
Kansas. How many people will you feed in a night?
Well, we serve 400 people now. We now have about a $2.5 million facility.
Wow!
And we'll serve over 70,000 people from all over the world this year.
Give us the website.
It's at www.prairierosechuckwagon.com. Prairierosechuckwagon.com.
Just leave the supper off, and can we get the directions of how to get there?
All of it will be found on our website. And be sure if there's any questions, give us a call at our office.
Okay.
Area code 316-778-2121. Area code 316-778-2121.
And you're outside of Wichita, right?
Just outside of
Wichita.
How far? About 15 minutes east of Wichita. And
Jim, right,
let me share that if there's ever any of the business people that are involved with SBA or that are interested or thinking of this, if we can help them, have them call or email us. We'll be glad to do anything.
Have you ever thought about franchising something like this?
No, I don't think so. It takes a lot of personal attention that we feel like only we can give.
Right.
And as I say, we now have people, guests from all over the world. Last Thursday was a special show for us. We had 78 nations represented at one time, one night, at the Prairie Rose. Now, that's not quite, but it's almost half of the nations of the world all represented at the Prairie Rose.
What a big deal. Now, this has changed everything. You've diversified. You're still in the cattle business.
Mm-hmm.
And the cattle prices are back up now, so things aren't so bad now. But still, you've diversified your business. You ran into a brick wall, and you said, you know what? We don't have to knock it down. We can go around it.
You bet. And we can utilize it. You know, in the very things that were causing us problems before, we now really focus on a lot of that. You know, the cowboy heritage, our family heritage, the cattle. And by doing that, we're able to do the very thing that you're saying. We're able to accentuate and make success out of that.
Thomas, I got 30 seconds. Give us your last thoughts.
Well, I would encourage every business person that is struggling right now to think outside that box and look at what they have and think outside the box as to how it can be utilized in a different way. It brought success to the Prairie Rose, and through that, we're able to utilize that and have people from around the world come see us.
Check out that website, folks, prairierosechuckwagon.com. Thank you, Thomas Etheridge, for being here. Good job today. We're going to get you back and get you to tell us some more things about what's going on out there.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks. Thomas Etheridge, ladies and gentlemen, the Small Business Person of the Year in the state of Kansas. I am so proud of him and Cheryl for what they've done. Quick break, 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.